Good morning. It is a somewhat beautiful July 16th here in Sandpoint, Idaho, in the Idaho Panhandle, and you are listening to the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show, brought to you by Panhandle Community Radio. It's Thursday morning, and that means it's Jack and Jim here in the studio. And how are you this morning, Jim?
I'm doing fabulous. I mean, the forecast for today is cooler temps, and I'm always a big fan of temperatures below 80 degrees.
It's I am too. I like the right now it's a little cloudy. I'll give you the full forecast in a minute, but the clouds aren't supposed to stick around, but it is only going to get up to about 77 today, which is
nice. I can live with that.
And I like the clouds too. I mean, after what seems like about 2 months of nonstop sunshine and hot temperatures, a little cloudy morning is that's all right with me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it gets to hang around for the rest of the day, as far as I'm concerned. What's the rest of the day going to look like, though?
It is going to be mostly sunny once it clears up a little later in the morning. High near 77. A little wind for you sailors out there. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles an hour, increasing to 11 to 16 in the afternoon.
It is supposed to be windy.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
We could get gusts as high as 22 miles an hour. Mostly clear tonight with a low around 48 degrees. The wind's going to calm down a little bit but persist through the night. And tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 78. The next day, Saturday, actually I'm going to a wedding on Saturday. I know someone getting married and hopefully it's going to be perfect weather for
them. Here in Sandpoint?
Yeah, cool. Down in Kokalala. But 20% chance of showers before 11 a.m., so hopefully that won't interrupt the wedding. It'll be just nice and cool. Mostly sunny with a high near 83 on Saturday. And Sunday, it's going to start getting a little hot again. That's when it's coming back. High near 88. Sunny and 88 on Sunday. Good day to be out on the lake, perhaps. And then those mid to high 80s temperatures persisting as far as we can see in this forecast, as accurate as it can be. Sunny and high 80s for until the early part of next week, and then we'll see.
We'll take it day by day. You mentioned the lake, and we have some guests in the studio this morning. I'll introduce one person, and then he can introduce the other people here. We're with Jim Zuberbühler. He is the race director for Sandpoint's Long Bridge Swim that is going to occur on Saturday, August 1st. Coming right up and around the corner. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, Jack. How are you today?
We are doing excellent. And do you want to introduce who's here in the studio with you?
Sure. I have two of our younger volunteers with me today. My son, Max, who is 9 years old. Good morning, Max.
Morning, Jim.
You call your dad Jim?
Wow. And my daughter, Sierra, who is 5 years old, who was a little bit shy about being on the air this morning, but they volunteer with registration and help us out each year, and I brought them in this morning.
Well, I think that they're going to be good spokespersons for the swim. Before we start talking about the event, can you give a little bit of history behind the event?
Sure. This is our 21st year for the swim. As I think everyone in Sandpoint certainly knows, Eric Ridgway founded the swim 21 years ago when he invited 68 of his friends to join him to swim across the lake. And this wonderful community event was born in 1996. So it's been going strong ever since. We've continued to grow each year, adding anywhere from 50 to 75 swimmers. The last couple of years, we've had about 700 to 750 people swim each year. So it's been just great.
It steadily increases. Now, besides the obvious reason it's water and we're in North Idaho, what's the reason? Other reasons behind the Long Bridge Swim?
Well, the reason that Eric created it was to have this fun community event. That was Eric's driving reason for doing it. A day where people could get together and celebrate our lake, our community, and just have a great time. And I think that he really did a great job of fulfilling that vision. One of the things that we've always been proud of is having an extremely inexpensive registration. The goal being that you could show up with your entire family and do the swim. And in fact, we have always made it clear to folks that anyone who cannot afford to do the swim can just give us a call and we'll scholarship them. So that's been the driving reason for the swim.
That's wonderful. And of course, you have the Long Bridge, not the car traffic, but one can set up at the Long Bridge and watch almost the entire race, can't one? It's not a race. I shouldn't say that. Entire swim.
That's right. One can watch the entire swim. That makes it such an unusual event. Very rarely do you have an open water swim where you can watch the entire thing as a spectator like this. And we have an unusually large number of spectators, thousands of people watching the event. And in fact, this is a good opportunity to mention the now other driving force behind the swim. 6 years ago, we started a swim lessons initiative. And Jim, we now raise, in fact, this year we're going to raise about $15,000 from our many dozens of sponsors who support the swim. Last year, we served over 850 children with swim lessons.
That is absolutely terrific. You know, that the benefit, besides having a fun day, I think it's important that everyone have water skills. Especially if you live on a lake.
Well, and that's right. And what drove me to start this was about a half a dozen years ago, we had a boy drown up in Moi, 16-year-old, I think he was, and just stepped in a deep part of the river there on the side, and wasn't far from shore, had a friend with him, and he drowned right there, and his friend didn't know what to do. He was a non-swimmer, and his friend didn't know how to help, and that really made an impact on me, and so I did some research, and about 6 months later concluded that we had a significant number of people who do not learn how to swim. So we started this program out slowly. Now we have a great deal of support within the schools and are serving kids from almost all of our elementary schools at this point and the middle school. And our goal is to have no child get past third grade without learning how to swim in the county. And in addition to that, we're serving most of the special education students in the district also with safety courses.
Excellent, excellent. You know, I agree with you. You know, that notion of being able to feel comfortable around the water and to know what to do. You don't have to be able to swim around the entire lake, but just merely be able to have some water skills.
That's right. And I just want to compliment, we could not do this without the support of Sandpoint West Athletic Club. We run all the lessons through the club, and Don Helander, Don and Sue Helander have been tremendously supportive. Mike Brosnahan, who directs the aquatics program there, has just been marvelous. Don turns around and donates right back into the program all of the net profit that he gets from our, you know, paying for the swim lessons. So we've watched his sponsorship go from being some hundreds of dollars a year to now being one of our two top sponsors, a cash sponsor of the swim. And I just think he just puts it right back into the program. And that's just wonderful. And it's very typical of people supporting the swim.
You can't put on an event of this magnitude without a tremendous number of sponsors as well as volunteers. And speaking of volunteers, Max, I understand that you are going to be volunteering on that Saturday.
Yep.
What you going to be doing?
Volunteering for registrations
at the high school.
Mm-hmm. And also...
And you'll be helping out at Dog Beach also. Mm-hmm.
What you going to be doing down at Dog Beach? Keeping the dogs under control? Huh?
No, I'm going to be helping.
with whatever we need, right, Max?
Yep.
Now, have you been able to spend some time in the water?
Yep.
And do you enjoy being in the water?
Yep.
Now,
I was going to ask if you've taken the swim lessons that the Long Bridge Swim is doing. Have you taken any swim lessons?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm going to ask your dad, what's the age range, the oldest and the youngest swimmers you've had?
Well, the youngest swimmers we've had, do you know, Max, for the swim? Oh, you go ahead, tell.
About 7, 8-year-olds have done it.
That's typical. We did have a 6-year-old do the swim 1 year, but we usually have some 7 and 8-year-olds each year.
Wonderful. Are you going to do it one day?
One day.
One day. We don't want to. And possibly you'll have some company with your sister.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun? Now, let's talk about the swim itself, Jim, in terms of distance.
It's 1.76 miles. So it's a fairly long swim as far as open water swims go. But again, we're unique in that we are, swimming along the pedestrian bridge. We also have a very finely tuned safety system in place. In fact, of the 200 plus volunteers that help us put on the swim each year, over 150 are dedicated to safety alone. We'll have over 90 safety kayakers. We have people on jet skis. We have the Coast Guard Auxiliary, the Marine Division for the Sheriff's Department. We have a dive team. We have paramedics on the water. We've got deputies on the bridge acting as spotters in case they see trouble. We've got EMS and a medical tent at Dog Beach. Bonner General Health supports us. We've got an incident command communications post again at Dog Beach. So if somebody gets tired or a little bit cold or both, they can actually take a rest by putting a hand on a kayak or be brought over out of the swimming lane over to a jet ski and then transferred to a motorized boat and then brought into Dog Beach. And in fact, between 20 and 25 people get brought in each year. And in fact, that number has been static for a dozen or 15 years, even as the swim has doubled in size. It's very curious.
That's interesting. Yeah. In terms of, I think what the message you're saying out there is that most people might have had experience in a pool. And you look at a big expanse of water like this, you might go, oh dear. But it sounds like you have a safety support structure in place.
Yeah, we do. And I think that makes a lot of people much more comfortable. Each year we have many first-time swimmers doing this. And in fact, I would guess that, for instance, if we have 800 people swim it this year, 200 of them will be competitive swimmers. And they'll be racing, essentially. We'll have 400 people who have either done it before or really are comfortable doing an event like this, and they'll swim this very comfortably. And then we'll have 200 people who really don't know if they can if they can do this. And that's part of the fun of it, is being able to serve both ends of the spectrum and the middle, and to be able to do it well. And one of the reasons that we're able to accomplish this now with our very large numbers is that we moved to chip timing a number of years ago. So everyone's wearing an ankle chip timer. So even though we do have a mass start, many hundreds of people choose to enter the water at their own pace. That chip on their Velcro ankle bracelet goes across a mat. So that's when their time starts. So they don't have to start when the horn goes off. So they can really take their time, but they get an accurate time for their event. So it really takes away the pressure. It also makes it a much safer race because you don't have competitive high school and college swimmers swimming over, orthopedically challenged, beat up people like me, out there. So it really makes a difference.
Now, can one use flippers, and can one use a flotation device?
That's a very good question. The It is a swim, not a float. So we did make a decision, I guess it was 8 or 10 years ago, that one could not use flotation devices. So no life jackets, no floaties, no noodles, nothing like that. The only exception is that two exceptions. You can wear wetsuits, okay, which I guess you could argue is a flotation device, and fins are permitted. When one wears a fin, when one wears fins, your time is marked with an asterisk. So you do have a time that's a little bit different than other folks, but you're permitted to wear fins.
Speaking of time, so 1.76 miles, is that right? Mm-hmm. And how long does that usually take?
Well, we have a cutoff. We do require that. Well, we have a couple different cutoffs with the event. We don't allow it to go all day, and we have people who would probably choose to go all day if we let them. We do have a cutoff of 2 hours and 15 minutes. So we have to do that. I mean, we just have to limit it again for safety reasons. And part of that is just the kayakers are out there. They're out there an hour before the event starts, and you just can't have people sitting in kayaks for more than, you know, 3 hours, right, or thereabouts. But it's also time in the water for swimmers. We also have a cutoff. People need to be at that quarter mile mark in a prescribed period of time, or we will pull them out of the water. So,
and sweep them out of the water. Now, I know that regular registration has already passed. We're now into late registration up through July 27th. Has that date changed?
Nope, that's correct.
Okay, and that is a Monday. If one is interested in registering, how does one go about it, Jim?
The best way to do that is to go to our website, longbirdswim.org, and then click on the registration link, which takes you to active.com. And then register online. It's possible to also register by mail. One can do that by, again, going to our website and printing out a paper registration form. We've really moved away from paper, but it's still possible to do that.
And I will admit it's an easy website to navigate. Again, thelongbridgeswim.org. And that's all one word squished together, the Long Bridge Swim. Have you swum in this? Have you swum? Have you swam?
Participated.
Participated. Have you gotten wet in this event, Jim?
Yes, this will be my 15th year in a row to do this.
Mm-hmm. And do you find it, what sorts of weather elements make it interesting? The wind, or can that impact?
It really can. Of course, what makes me most concerned is we've never had to call the swim. Mm-hmm. It's been awfully close. Eric had a couple of years where it was very, very close, and I've had a couple of years also. A couple of years ago, it was very, very close call. You know, trying to decide whether we would call it because of weather. The only reason we would call it really is if we felt that we could have lightning.
That's just a
no go. Or you know, severe wind. Mm-hmm. But if we have wind swells, we're going to do the swim. Many people actually really enjoy that when we've got some conditions that are a little bit unusual. That's a fun challenge.
It's not swimming pool weather.
No, it's not swimming pool weather. But that can make it challenging for the safety apparatus and so on. But it always seems to work out. And I'll tell you, the couple of years where we've really considered calling the swim, those years, it's just amazing. Right as we're getting ready to go, heaven's sort of clear, and we've been good to go.
It's been like a blessing. We're here in the studio at 88.5 KRFY with Jim Zuberbühler. He is the race director for the Long Bridge Swim, and his two children, Max and Sierra. And Jim, I want to tell you how well-behaved they have been. They have just been absolutely like little angels. Is that a fair description of you, Max, a little angel?
Huh? He's laughing.
Yes. Well, how about your sister Sierra? Is she a little angel?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. How has your summer been? Have you had a good summer?
Yep.
What have you been doing?
We've been camping.
Sailing.
Swimming?
Some swimming.
And what grade are you going to be in the fall?
Third grade.
And how about Sierra?
Kindergarten.
Do you think she's looking forward? Well, the reason why is we don't have a mic set up for Sierra. Do you think she's looking forward to school?
Yeah, I think so.
Ah, and I'm trying to think back of when, can you believe it? I was once in third grade. I had a nun, Sister Floretta, and I can remember in third grade, I learned the multiplication table. You know, we would go through, we'd be on opposite sides of the classroom. Do you know your multiplication table?
Yep.
What? They're starting them before third grade? Oh my goodness, you're so far in advance. So you're going to help volunteer at the Long Bridge Swim with the registration table. Now, are you going to help give out t-shirts and things like that?
Probably.
Good. You know, we always need people like that. And Sierra has her hand raised, but she doesn't have a mic. What are you going to be doing, dear? Pardon? I didn't catch it.
Handing out t-shirts.
That's a good thing to do.
I was just going to pass Sierra my microphone and let her answer. I had Mrs. Monchamp in third grade myself.
What did you learn?
I mostly remember that she drove a convertible, which was pretty cool.
Oh,
she was the first teacher
yes.
I'd had that drove a convertible. And she, I think we read like the Phantom Toll Booth or something like that.
Ooh.
And yeah, and I think she yelled at me when I tried to climb on top of the school building. She caught me.
That could be a good reason for discipline.
I'm glad she did. I could have fallen off.
Jim, any memories of third grade? Mm-hmm. Do you remember your teacher?
I remember my teacher. It was not a terribly positive educational year.
It's incredible how we remember the things, you know, like climbing on the school, but not remembering the joys of learning.
That's right.
In third grade. We're here with Jim Zuberbühler. Let's talk more about the Long Bridge Swim in terms of how are the numbers out thus far? Are we going to have a good year?
Oh, we are. And I think the warmer temps in the lake are really encouraging people this year. So we've got registrations are tracking very well. Sponsorships are up. I also want to give a shout out to our second lead sponsor. I mentioned Sandpoint West Athletic Club. Parker Subaru stepped up down in Post Falls, and they're now our other lead sponsor, which was very, very nice for them to step up. And almost all of our regular sponsors have come back again.
That says a lot about the event, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Year after year, organizations come back to support us. It's just remarkable. Many times I don't even, pick up the phone first. I mean, the check arrives or I get a phone call from our sponsors. They have just stepped up.
Well, this is a win-win-win-win situation, not only for the people participating in the event, to be able to enjoy. This is why we're up here. This is something I don't think you could do in the Midwest. I mean, with such beautiful mountains around and the beautiful lake, but also the benefits of the swim program for people who do not have swimming skills. You know, I think that's incredible.
That's right. And Jim, very importantly, I was talking with someone yesterday about our event. And I think one of the, again, something else that makes us unique is, here we are, we've been at this 21 years. We have no paid staff. We've got this core group of people who put this on each year. We have 8 department heads, each of whom owns their department. And I mean owns it.
They take control and run with it.
So whether it's registration, transportation, food, logistics, safety, the finish, start, timing, all these different areas. And it's really t-shirts, prizes. I mean, it's really something. It's just
the way it comes together.
Yes. And we have our last planning meeting this coming Monday. It's so fun. I look forward to those meetings. They're just
Because everybody does great. His or her job. And I see you don't mind, though, child labor, though.
No, we don't. We and on a both kind of sweet and sad note, I want to just mention here briefly that Starla Stagland, who was a volunteer with us for very nearly 20 years, she started managing the swimmer database right from the start with Eric and did our accounting.
Mm-hmm.
Starla got sick a few years ago with cancer, mm-hmm. and called me about 6 months ago and said she was going to stop her treatments. Would I please find another person to take on her responsibilities? And so did that, found a new mm-hmm. person to take on her jobs, and we transitioned those responsibilities. And then we threw a thank you, goodbye dinner for Starla at Trinity. Justin's been a great supporter for years. And so we sat outside back in early mid-May, which we could do this year. And
you could have done that in February.
Yeah. And Starla, who was, pretty weak at that point, was concerned that she could even, you know, do something like that. But she said she felt invigorated by sitting outside and being with this, you know, it was about 15 of us, kind of our mm-hmm. core group of volunteers. And we had this great evening of talking about funny things that had happened over the years. And her husband, Dan, said it was just so nice to hear these nice things now, you know, yeah. while she was alive rather than later. And, mm-hmm. She actually passed away about a month later.
Oh.
And we were getting emails until about 2 days before. Don't forget to do this. Don't forget to do that. And so while it's very sad that you know, Starla passed away, it was just this great, you know,
dedicated volunteer.
Yes,
absolutely.
This wonderful thing, you know, mm-hmm. and just, and while we miss her terribly, it, I think it just, captures, you know, the people who
the spirit of the Longbridge Swim.
Exactly. So I wanted to mention that.
Ah, nice story. Nice story. Jim, in closing, one more time, if one wants to register.
Yes, let's go to longbridgeswim.org. Easy to find. As Jim mentioned, I think our website's pretty easy to navigate. Just go to the registration tab.
If I can do it, anybody can.
There you have it. And, again, register online at active.com. Also, can do it by mail. We really encourage that you do it online, though. And we'll see you on the 1st of August.
Jim Healy, you went to the website. Did you actually register to swim this year?
No.
Oh.
No, I did not. One thing I do want to say, put mm-hmm. the pressure on me.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm going to register you. One of the things I want to say is usually, this is a rarity, usually the Longbridge Swim is on the first weekend of the festival at Sandpoint, but this year it's by itself.
Yes, we're always the first Saturday
of
August, and you're right. Often we do overlap with the festival. It's actually nice that we're
Right. Because the festival goes from a Thursday through a Sunday, and it's got to be all in August, my understanding is.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not going to be doing the swim this year, but I want to thank you, Jim, for taking time out of your busy schedule. Have we not mentioned something that you want to talk about, or have we covered pretty well?
Oh, gosh. Just again, thanks to all of our Longbridge Swim volunteers. Thanks to our sponsors, and thanks very much to all of our participants. And again, we look forward to seeing everybody on the 1st of August.
Well, I hope that you have a successful event. And with volunteers like Max and Sierra, I don't see any reason why this shouldn't be a wonderful event. Max and Sierra, thank you so much for bringing your dad down to the station.
You're welcome.
Did you drive the car?
No.
Jim, thanks much, and have a good event. And we thank you for your support of KRFY.
Thank you.
And we're going to play now the number one song 50 years ago today, and it probably has the most recognizable three-note guitar riff for an opening of a song ever. And we'll talk more about it when we come back. Thank you.
The KRFY Morning Show is broadcast every Tuesday and Thursday, live at 8 a.m. Tune in to 88.5 or stream us live from our website at 8 o'clock to hear the complete and unedited program, including musical selections. Due to our licensing, we are unable to include full songs in our downloadable podcasts. We now return to the KRFY Morning Show.
I Can't Get No Satisfaction by the Stones, the number one song on this date in 1965, 50 years ago. And I read that initially they wanted horns to replace the guitar riff.
I can't, yeah, you just mentioned that. I can't believe it or even imagine it. I guess now that you say it, you can think about that. Yeah. You can see how they were. What they were thinking there, but it's such an iconic guitar song and guitar riff. It's hard to believe.
Hard to imagine it any other way than the way it is.
Yeah.
It came out on this Rolling Stones' fourth American album, and it was their first number one hit in the States. Initially, in England, the song wasn't played. You could only hear it on pirate radio because mm-hmm. they felt that it was too sexually suggestive, because the song does deal with sexual frustration and commercialism. But then later on, it becomes the Rolling Stones over there, their fourth number one hit.
Hmm.
And according to Rolling Stone, it is the second most important rock and roll song in of the top 500.
Right, in that list that they came out with, which was, I don't know, a fun list. A fun list that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but
that's what I love. You know, like the top 10 Beatles song. I don't care what you pick. They're just fun. You know what you think as opposed to what someone else thinks. So, but that was the Rolling Stones kicking off, and that's when they still had Brian Jones,
right?
Before he exited.
And that was kind of the, if I remember the story right, that was kind of what made the, rather than just another British Invasion, sort of a Beatles ripoff band, that was the song that really said, "No, this is the Rolling Stones. This is something. Well, this is something different than what you're
getting from the other band. This is their own songwriting skills as well. Right. And this kicks off a whole host of just incredible songs: "Jumping Jack Flash," "Street Fighting Man," "Paint It Black," "Mother's Little Helper," "Let's Spend the Night Together," "Ruby Tuesday," on and on and on. But it's up to that point in time. Well, their kickoff hit was "Not Fade Away," a Buddy Holly song.
Yeah, they were. That's the. I think I like the "Jumping Jack Flash" introduction better personally.
Mm-hmm.
But the that was the. I think Keith Richards says that every song that they made after that was basically just Satisfaction redone basically. Yeah.
Satisfaction light.
Yeah. The Rolling Stones, who are on what now, they're 51st, I guess. Oh, here,
ever so really? Painful.
Yeah.
You don't want to see them on a big screen.
No.
You know, because they still do stadiums. Uh-huh. And you know, then they flash them on a big screen. Yeah. And let's face it.
They've been hard years.
They're in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still rocking, though. And though they have gone through some member changes in the band, Bill Wyman is no longer with them. Brian Jones passed. Mick Taylor isn't. Ronnie Wood now mm-hmm. is the. And but Charlie mm-hmm. Watts and Keith Richards and Mick Jagger have been the mainstays.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Brian Jones passed in the 60s, I think, right?
Drowned. Yeah. I want to say 69.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just guessing on that date.
And the Mick Taylor was the albums that Mick Taylor played on were my favorite.
Oh, Sticky Fingers. Yeah. You bet. And that just had a re-release, mm-hmm. remastered and additional cuts.
He was, I think he played a few of the gigs in their 50th anniversary tour. He came back into the band.
They blew the dust off him and mm-hmm. propped him up, and he worked his magic. Well, should we start talking about some of the events that are coming down?
And we then, should, yeah.
Then we can come back to, you're listening to Jim and Jack here on the KRFY Morning Show, and I will start off today with something that is occurring tonight out at Dover Bay. Tonight is the festival unveiling of the poster, and the festival artist is Lucy West. She's been in here several times. She's a member of Artworks. And that tonight, this event is free and open to the public. And it's going to unveil Lucy West's poster that you can snack on appetizers prepared by Dish at Dover Bay. You can listen to live music. You can sip on some cold beer. The event starts at 5 p.m. with the unveiling at 6. And have you ever attended one of those?
I have not.
They are. It's a fun event because the venue, you're right down there on the water, and you, and it's a great social event, as the festival is throughout the year, a great way to gather people together. But that is tonight. Lucy West's festival poster will be unveiled at 6. The event begins at 5 at Dover Bay, Dish at Dover Bay.
I wonder what it's going to look like. I'm very curious.
Oh, I like Lucy's work, what I've seen of it on her website. So it ought to be fun.
Good. It's a painting, right? And not a photo or a...
I'm not quite sure what medium, but they've had quilts, they've had painting, they've had sculpture, they've had just in his carvings in previous years. So, you know, I'm sure it will be wonderful because it's coming from Lucy.
Also happening tonight, a little closer to the downtown area, Bright Moments Jazz is playing at the Neighborhood Pub from 6 till 9. I owe Bright Moments Jazz a CD. Actually, from their playing, they generously donated their time when we were doing our membership drive.
Yes.
And they've asked for a CD of their work. So heading down there, I'll have to pass that on to Arthur.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Also going on, actually, I'm jumping into tomorrow unless you have another event going on.
I have nothing. I've got Saturday stuff. So you can jump into Friday and then we can take a musical break and then we'll do Saturday.
Ben and Katie are playing at the IPA from 5 to 7 p.m. tomorrow night at the Idaho Poor Authority. That is Ben Olson and Katie Archer, the heart and soul of Harold's IGA. If I hope I don't offend the other members when I say that. A part of Harold's IGA. How about that?
That's safe.
Yeah, that's a safer statement. Also going on just down the street at the winery, Tom Catmull. He's up from Missoula, and he's going to share his American roots-driven sound. I think we've got a Tom Catmull CD in rotation, or a Tom
local
Catmull
music scene
song. Excellent. That you'll hear every once in a while.
I like your choice of preposition. Up from Missoula, I would say over.
Over?
Yeah, I'd say over. But when you look on a map, we really are up.
I think up.
I think over.
I do. I guess it is the time zone.
You say up, I say over.
The time zone makes you think over, but
there you go.
Yeah. At McDuff's Beer Hall, same thing tomorrow night. Harold's IGA. I mean tomorrow afternoon. Harold's IGA is from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at McDuff's Beer Hall. That's the full Harold's IGA rather than just the two piece Ben and Katie. Free and open to the public, ages 21 years of age and older. That's at McDuff's Beer Hall. Go to McDuff's.com for more information about that. Now, here's one that, Jim, maybe you know more about, and I know that Susie and Chris know a little bit more about it. Red Hot Patriot.
Right, at the Panada.
At the Panada. That's going on.
Their final weekend.
This weekend, yeah. The 17th through the 19th, so tomorrow, Saturday, and I believe there's a matinee on Sunday. The pugnacious Texas columnist Molly Ivins specialized in a kind of dead serious humor designed to afflict the comfortable within an inch of their lives.
Ivins was one of journalism's happy warriors, a quality adeptly captured by Miriam Robinson, local actress, who delivers a winningly assured performance in lyric stage companies, generally satisfying production of Red Hot Patriots. Speaking of satisfaction.
But that's not going to be in the Panada, because the Panada is being re-renovated. And so it's next door. You go through the POAC office, the Pondere Arts Council office. It's to the north. And is it called the small theater?
The little theater. The teeny weeny little theater.
Anything else that you have on Friday?
No. Well, showtimes are at 7:30 p.m. for that. Don't forget. And be sure to show up. It doesn't say anything about a matinee, so I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. Plan on 7:30 p.m. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And I'm sure you can go to the Panada's website and find out all the information. We're going to go back to music because we've got just some key songs from the 60s lined up. On this date in 1966, Eric Clapton, Jack Bruce, and Ginger Baker form Cream. And if you speak about a guitar riff, I think here's another guitar riff that's immediately recognizable. Play it, Jack.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
That is Cream. They formed on this date in 1966, Ginger Baker pounding away on the drum kit.
Cream, this date in 1966, is that what you said? Yes. And by this time, I think Clapton would have been a known entity, right? It was kind of a supergroup.
Well, it was kind of a supergroup, but Clapton was the known entity. I'm not quite sure of... I'm quite sure that Ginger Baker and Jack Bruce were in other bands, but not as notable as Eric Clapton. And they form, they're together for 2-3 years, and then they break off and do Blind Faith. Now, that was a super group with Steve Winwood, Eric Clapton, Ginger Baker, and Rick Gretsch, I think. And then Ginger Baker goes off and forms Air Force, and then sort of goes his own way. And of course, we all know what happens to Eric Clapton. Develops an incredible singular solo career, but he also becomes quite a studio musician. For example, you mentioned with the Rolling Stones, Sticky Fingers. There's a version of Brown Sugar, the opening cut, with Eric Clapton on guitar that you can listen to with their new released remastered, but it was mixed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to hear that song. That's cool.
Yeah. He is just, he appears practically everywhere. I think he plays guitar on While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
That's the one I know about, yeah.
And he just starts appearing everywhere with everyone, and he's ubiquitous.
He does. He was in Cream. Was he in the Yardbirds? No, he was in Blues Breakers or something like that.
John Mayall in the Blues Breakers.
Yeah, and then he was in Blind Faith, Derek and the Dominoes, and then of course the long solo career
was interspersed. Yeah, during that time, you're absolutely correct. He's interspersed. He joins George Harrison on his world tour. But the guy certainly has longevity. And we were talking during the song, Jack Bruce passed away last year. And he was the one who did most of the lead vocals with Cream.
Yeah. And he's a very a talented vocalist and bassist, for that matter, too.
Absolutely. But I don't know what happened to him after Cream.
He does have the less recognizable
name, I guess. I mean, because Ginger Baker, I feel like, is famous almost just for his bright red hair and sort of his and personality.
He was, and he was left-handed, because I remember his double CD, vinyl record, Air Force, it opens the reverse way. But then he moves down to South Africa and becomes more of an eccentric. Now I think he's back up in England and talking about who's the greatest drummer of all and playing those sorts of games.
Yeah, and he's on the list of great drummers, I suppose. But
absolutely.
Yeah. You asked about Jack Bruce. He was in Blues Breakers with Eric Clapton, I guess. And then Cream, and then after Cream, he was in he recorded an acoustic free jazz album with John. Yeah. And then he did some solo releases. Songs for a Tailor came out in 1969. And he continued with another blues rock power trio like Cream called West, Bruce, and Lang. But none of these are quite as well known.
I do have that West, Bruce, and Lang, because if I'm not mistaken, Leslie West and Lang were part of Mountain, and who did Mississippi Queen.
Oh.
And so, why don't I pay attention to what I listen to?
He did. He looks like he was also a very studio guy as well. Mm-hmm. He played on Lou Reed's Berlin album, and then he played with the aforementioned Mick Taylor and jazz keyboard player Carla Bley on an album called Escalator Over the Hill. man, you can dive right into these the way that various careers crisscross in the rock and roll industry in the 60s, 70s. Everybody, seems like everybody knew everybody.
Everybody knew everybody, and because nowadays it would be so easy to sit in your basement or garage and cut a CD and not be in touch with anyone else, whereas back then, back in the day. But what I find absolutely amazing is how we just think of these individuals after their super groups and after, you know, they fade away, but they're very active. They continue to have a relationship with music as time passes. Speaking of time passes, we've got to talk about some more events. On Saturday, you do the kickoff.
On Saturday, up at Schweitzer Mountain Resort on the lawn, the Mountain Music Festival and Northwest Wine Fest. That's Saturday, July 18th. Three great bands lined up for a fun-filled day of live music, barbecue, arts and crafts, vendors, and everyone's favorite fruit beverage, wine. 20 Northwest and regional wineries will be offering 80 wines for sampling and purchase. Plus, there will be the souvenir glasses and tasting tokens, as usual at this kind of event. The Wine Alley is what they're calling the area where you go to sample your wines once you buy your glass and your tokens. There will be the Monkey Motion Air Jumper. The zip line will be open. The arts and crafts, as I said, hiking, biking, chairlift rides, climbing wall, disc golf, and more.
Huckleberry picking.
Oh, yeah. Live music includes Owen and McCoy, Milonga at 1:30 p.m. and Strictly Business at 4 p.m. Go to schweitzer.com for more information about that, but it does sound like a fun weekend up there on the mountain.
Absolutely. And if the weather's nice, not too much wind though, but start off your day at the Sandpoint Farmers Market. You can shop for locally grown fresh produce, baked goods, and handcrafted arts and crafts 9 to 1 at Farm and Park in downtown Sandpoint. The music this weekend at the Farmers Market, Joan and Gordon. That you can find more information at sandpointfarmersmarket.com.
Joan and Gordon.
Yes.
Baez and Lightfoot, you think?
One can keep one's... Yeah. Joan Baez meets Gordon Lightfoot, and they do a duet on Early Morning Rain. One can dream.
Well, we are just about out of time. You've been listening to the... Go. We got one more.
No, one more thing. Did you queue up? After Bird Note, on this date in 1973, Bob Dylan released the soundtrack to Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. And, of course, the one song that we all remember from that is Knock, Knock, Knocking on Heaven's Door. So that's coming up right after Bird Note. Mm-hmm. And that was on this date in 1973.
That one was... That's been covered by... Eric Clapton, the
you bet. Who was that band? Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead have done a version, but of course their version goes on for 17 minutes.
Right, I imagine. And the Guns N' Roses had a pretty good hit with that.
You bet they did. Yeah. I forgot that they did that.
Yeah, one of Dylan's many well-covered tracks. You've been listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. Go to krfy.org for if you would like to download a copy of this episode. That's where you can go. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes and never miss an episode. And coming up next, it's Bird Note featuring Puffins, the Clowns of the Sea.
Cool. And we've really covered a lot of music today. And, and we also didn't play The Who's I'm Free was released on this date in the late 60s. So there's a lot of good rock music that was released. Jerry Warren must know it all.
Yes, I imagine he does.
It's been good with you, Jack.
It's been good talking to you, Jim. And yeah, stay tuned for Bird Note and then some classic rock coming at you bright and early in the morning here.